Good morning to everybody, and we thank the Lord for this opportunity to be gathered today. It's the Lord's Day, and also we have invited our friends from Voice of the Martyrs. We have in our midst a few of their employees, their brothers and sisters who are serving the Lord by serving our brothers and sisters who are persecuted around the globe. Of course, we have Eshwan there at the back, and Angie, and then we have Ryan, and and Diane, and then we have Tony, who will speak in our midst this morning to the Word of God, and of course, Eric. We thank the Lord for bringing them today. And not just this morning, in the evening, Eshwan will also be presenting more of what God is doing through Voice of the Martyrs, and hopefully you'll be back, and we'll have a lot of prayer time tonight for the persecuted church, and we'll also have some activities that will inform us of how we can be more involved in assisting and helping our brothers and sisters around the globe who are experiencing persecution because of their faith. And so, dearly beloved in the Lord, I won't take much of the time anymore, but I'd like to give this time to our brother Tony to preach the Word of God today. God bless you, brother.
It's great to be here. A number of familiar faces here. Adrian, lovely, who's been with Voice of the Martyrs long before I was around. And still is. Thank you, Adrian, for what you do. It's good to be here this morning. And many of you know of our work at Voice of the Martyrs and are familiar with the magazines and so on. What I would like to do this morning is just to bring the work of Voice of the Martyrs a little bit closer than just the magazine. And I'd just like to start with some prayer. Father God, we come to you today with open hearts. I pray that this message is spoken. The message that is spoken will soften our spirits to your word and make us receptive to what you are saying to us through this word. I pray that as I rely on you today, your Holy Spirit gives me the right words, as your will be done in this place. Amen. You know, in the context of persecuted believers, when I share with people what it is that we do or the ministry which we serve in, at the end of the day, it's God's ministry, not ours. People are quite shocked. They say, wow, how can you do that? And you know, what they forget, and I say this through a lack of, many people with a lack of knowledge, the path of persecuted Christians is one of victory in Christ. We're not meant to feel sorry for them. They don't ask us to feel sorry for them. They have a few key things they ask us to do. They ask us to pray, which you guys are doing, and thank you for doing that. But they also ask that we resource them so that they can enrich their faith and equip others. And based on that, in Matthew 25 this morning, the scripture which Wayne read for us, what does the scripture mean? The scripture highlights the preparedness or the unpreparedness of some of us as Christians. Are we prepared for what God has in store for us? Or are we not? And God's word advises us, or shall I say instructs us, that we need to be prepared. Otherwise, we will miss what he has for us in our lives. You know, when I started the work at Voice of the Martyrs, I proudly proclaimed myself as being Pentecostal. I know I'm standing in a Baptist church, Pastor Jan, so please. But you know something? I spent 18 hours with a dear brother in Christ who made a perilous journey from Beijing to catch up with me in Hong Kong. Now, I hadn't seen him for 4.5 years. It was just virtually impossible to get together with him and to get all of the information of what's happening in China. None of what we spoke about was about denomination. It was about believers and unbelievers. That's it. And I'll quote you something which we shared. And he said, believers read the Bible. Non-believers read believers. I thought that was very interesting. Because non-believers gauge us, even here, by our example. So what is the example that we set for others that would encourage them to follow Jesus? What example do we set for non-believers to encourage them to follow Jesus? There's a saying in sport, you've always got to have your game face on. And I think in our walk, it's the same thing. We've always got to come fully armed and fully prepared for the opportunity to be able to share Christ with someone. And I think we've missed this. We've missed this. And if you, as you're sitting here, hasn't made a commitment to follow Jesus, then obviously you're not prepared. And I'm going by what God's word says. We've got to be prepared. The scripture deals with unpreparedness, not being alert for the distinct opportunity of the second coming. The Bible also said that the second coming will take place when the gospel has been heard by everyone. And we are saved to be a witness. When last were we a witness? When last were we a witness? And I shared with you about Pentecostal because if you ask me today, after being at the helm of Voice of the Martyrs Australia for 6 years, I would say to you that I'm a Bible-believing Christian, because that, in God's eyes, is all that matters. Denomination, I don't know. It's a scary thing. Because if we strictly follow God's word as persecuted believers do, we will reap the rewards that they reap. And let me share some of those examples of the rewards. In Egypt, and you may have heard this through Eshwan already, we are seeing such a move of God among the Muslims that are coming to Christ, that a ministry which we started funding 5 years ago, which started with a pastor and his wife and their two children, has now got a reach of 127,000 Muslim background believers. People who followed Islam and realized that Islam had nothing to offer them and now follow Christ. And much of when we go out, and as we're doing in the Philippines with Paul, Pastor Jan's friend, we go out there and we ask people to be a voice. We only ask them to pray. Because we've seen our ministry at Voice of the Martyrs explode in Australia. And it's on the back of constant prayer. It works. Prayer is the backbone of every single thing that we're doing. And as we reach out into the Pacific Islands, and we reach out into the Philippines and to many other parts of the world where we function in at the moment, believers are praying for the work that we do in His name so that we can reach more believers. The sad reality of Voice of the Martyrs and persecution is that 10 years ago we were working in 53 different countries. Today we work in 68. So Christianity is the most persecuted faith on earth, contrary to what anybody else will tell you. So it's important that we, as Christians, are prepared. We've just been through a period of COVID. What happened then? There was panic buying. People were worried about not being able to get toilet rolls. Goodness me, that was nuts. We were the laughing stock of the Western world. But yet, if we put that much energy into our relationship with Christ, wow, what a difference that would make, wouldn't it? And once again, I refer back to my recent visit, and people ask, what's happening in China? China is experiencing a revival never seen on this earth. The group we work with started at 500,000. They exceed 1.5 million now in 3 years. When a city of 1 million plus people has more than 500,000 Christians in northern China, that says something, and that happened in 3 years during the period of COVID. Where we were saving money because we didn't spend it on luxuries because we couldn't, the Chinese Christians were sharing the gospel and bringing others to Christ. People realized in China that communism had nothing to offer them because their government abandoned them. And they were looking for answers. And there the prepared Christians went out and shared Christ with them, and the churches exploded. The importance of being prepared. It's absolutely important. We look at Australia today. There's mortgage stress. There's vitamin stress. There's vitamin D related stress. There's climate stress. There's stress for everything. Have we not learnt yet that Jesus is the answer to all of that? The persecuted church has. They know this. They know where their help comes from. Can you imagine living in an environment where you are not certain when you will be accosted by the authorities? You will be taken from your family with clear uncertainty that you may never see them again and put away in prison. We don't live with that reality here. Sadly, I believe we need that reality so that it wakes us up to why we aren't really committing our lives adequately in following Christ. You know, I contacted my colleague in Beijing via WhatsApp because I hadn't heard from him for a while. And I wasn't sure if I was going to get him on WhatsApp or I was going to get him on Signal. Well, I sent him a message. Hey, brother, how are you going? Not 10 minutes after I had sent the message, he got a call from the Chinese authorities asking him why somebody from Australia is trying to contact him. Not 10 minutes. The next day I tried on Signal. Same thing happened. He got a call. Who's contacting you from Australia? I did it quite innocently, just trying to connect. And that was the result. When we met in Hong Kong, we had to stay in separate hotels because he was fearful that they may follow him and I would be caught out as well as him. Now, this is a man who's 47 years old, who's got his own health challenges, who leads a team of 50 leaders who look after 1.5 million Christians. Go figure. And every one of it is an underground church. Home church, 5 or 6 people. Do the math. That's a lot of people and a lot of churches. But it functions seamlessly. Because within their movement that they have, no one is above the other. Something profound that I picked up on, which Wayne said as we were standing outside, I'm just a servant of the Lord. And that's the attitude. That is the attitude. One of their fellow leaders passed away recently, 98 years old. Was in prison for many years by Chairman Mao before Xi Jinping came into power. He said, you can leave me here as long as you want. I'm not going to deny who I am. God made me this way, and that's the way it's going to be. You can't tell me differently. Even if you kill me, it doesn't matter. I look forward to you killing me because I know where I'm going. You can do nothing to me. And such is the fear that the Communist Party have of any follower of Jesus Christ or anybody that has a Bible, they will kill you for that. So, if the communist, who's the enemy, knows the power in this, why don't we? Why isn't this our resource? Why is the psychologist, and I've got nothing against psychologists or doctors or anything, but should this not be our first port of call? This should be where we seek our help first. Nothing else. We don't need to be stressed about the fact that Liberal lost yesterday or any silly thing like that. Because we work with God's economy, not the world's economy. We serve a God who's bigger than all of that, because his word says so and he's proven it in our lives. And I take my example and I aim to be the way persecuted Christians are about their faith. Totally uncompromising and unashamed. Uncompromising and unashamed. My goal is to share Christ with whoever is willing to listen, as theirs is. You know, I've met Muslim background believers who got saved on one day, and the next day they're out sharing Christ. They had to be told, hang on, just be careful. You're living in a Muslim country, it can be dangerous. So what? I was like, okay, okie dokie. We went into a place called Almenia in Egypt. My local contact didn't tell me the significance of Almenia. Well, on the way there, it was too late for us to turn back. And he shared with me that Almenia is the birthplace of the Muslim Brotherhood, who's ISIS, by the way. And it's still there, their base. We're going there. We're going to share and encourage 40 pastors and their wives for a week in a hotel that we cannot leave for that week because they will know we're foreigners. Now, these are pastors who know the environment. They go there, they have a church there, or they have a base there, and they have a following there. And regardless of what the environment is telling them, they choose to remain there. And the purpose of the conference was just to encourage and let them know that they're not alone. Give them a bit of R&R from the front line, if you can call it that. What an amazing time. You know, many of us from the West, we go over there. Or if you've ever been on a missions trip, you go over there and you think, what am I going to teach these people? And you think you've got all this, you've got this uber amount of knowledge that you're going to share. And you come away there after a few days or a week or whatever, and you think, I've actually learned more than I could have taught them. Because these people are next level in their faith. You know, it's as if the persecution just obliterates every other menial thing that's going on, and it targets them upwards, and they're looking to Christ for their answers, and God is empowering them, he's moving them, he's giving them opportunity, he's strengthening them, he's encouraging them, and so on, and so on, and so on. So that's why I said, when we think about persecuted believers, we're not asking you to feel sorry for them. We're asking you to take an example of them. Take the example from them and apply it into your own life. Because the victory that we see in their lives, I want some of that too. I definitely want some of that. And if we can function with just the skerrick of what they're functioning on, wow, we'll be world changers as they are. Why should we be ashamed of our faith because some group is, secular group is, voice is bigger than ours? We know we serve a God bigger than that. And as somebody locally said, we know how this book ends. We know this. So are we in or are we out? There's no half measure. There's no maybe. You're in or you're out. You know, an example I gave once. to a group of marketing guys that I was leading, and I said, you know, if you were faced with a Rottweiler standing in front of you and he was going to attack you, and there was a 5-foot wall there, even I could get over that wall. I would be that desperate, because I wouldn't want to get bitten by that dog. So if we apply that concept to our faith, the enemy is out to destroy us, well and truly destroy us, destroy your family, destroy your marriage, destroy your prosperity in Christ. Why would we not take that same level of intensity and apply it to what we do every day? It's ludicrous that we don't. And this is nothing what I was here to speak about. Anyway, I challenge you today to examine your heart and let God speak to you regarding where your world is. The Bible gives us an instruction to go out. Not go out when you feel okay. Not go out when I turn 50, I think I'm going to do that. I'll have a midlife crisis and I'll do that. So as you draw closer to Him, He will show you who to approach and when to do so with discernment. I've met many Christians who have converted from Islam who understand this instruction better than we do. They get saved, baptized, and find the first people they come across to share Jesus. This is done without fear or inhibition. So people want to know about China. My time with my colleague was precious. They had last year, they had more than 18,000 people get saved. 18,000. And more than half of them a year later have been baptized. 50 leaders. Spanning 4 provinces in northern China, including Mongolia. That's an achievement. More than 18,000. Like I said, the city I was referring to is called Xinjiang, with more than 1 million, and nearly more than half of them have come to Christ. And these people are saying to us there are more opportunities than they have people to help them. What does that tell you? That nothing that the enemy throws at these people is going to succeed. If God hasn't proven Himself in situations like that, really, then how much more proof do we actually need? The Lord's on the move. We hear the same thing in Vietnam. We hear the same thing in Iran. Many of you have heard of this in Iran already. There are YouTube videos out of the revival happening in Iran. We can't get enough Bibles into Iran at the moment. So while the West is lukewarm, everywhere else is going boom. That was the opposite way around just a few years ago, wasn't it? Where we in the West touted ourselves as being the evangelists of the world, and we needed to go to the East to go and evangelize. People were going to the Philippines to send evangelists there because they needed Christ. Since I've been going to the Philippines, I've met more people that have worked in Iran, worked in Iraq, worked in Syria, worked in Russia, worked in these places. I was shocked. I didn't know this myself. I was quite oblivious to it. A place like South Korea sends out more missionaries than any other country in the world. What about Australia? Wow. We love a barbecue on a Friday afternoon, sitting in the sun, enjoying the footy. And I'm not condemning the lifestyle. I came here to Australia because I love Australia. I came from South Africa, as you can pick up on the dodgy accent. And we do play rugby better than you guys. Anyway, that's another story. But, you know, let our lifestyles not be the death of us. Let our comforts not kill us. Let it be there to uplift us, enhance us, and make us do better. That's the attitude we have at Voice of the Martyrs. When I started at Voice of the Martyrs, we were probably the smallest organization in Australia that does what we do. We are by far now, 6 years later, the largest. We were the seventh biggest in Voice of the Martyrs globally. Now we are the second largest. To the US was the biggest. But they got a bigger population, so it's obvious. We don't want to be an also-ran. We want to be the premier organization that have got the front seat in helping, equipping, and assisting persecuted believers around the world. You've seen the magazine has changed over the last 6-8 months. We have a different magazine today. But then again, we have got more stories than we can put out in a magazine or a blog, because so much is happening around the world. Every day we're getting new information about what's happening. And let me say this to you, when you read our magazine, you'll see there's a balance in that magazine, because that's the reality. It's not all doom and gloom. Yes, people are suffering. But yes, people have victory in Christ too. These are the important things to remember. It's about victory in Christ. It's about overcoming. When persecuted believers ask us to pray, they ask us to pray so they can endure and they can overcome. That's what the prayer is all about. Not pray for me because I'm suffering. No. Nobody asks us for money. Nobody asks us for food, although we help with those things. Of course we do. They still have physical needs like you and I have got. But the focus is on their spiritual life. At the end of the day, that's all that matters, isn't it? We all end up in the ground, don't we? Certainly our bodies do. And I'm sorry to be such a realist about things, but I'm not the person to sugarcoat something of which I know a lot about the reality. I'm out there all the time. I see it, I live it, I breathe it. I shed more tears this past week in 18 hours with my colleague from China. In him saying, which I feel embarrassed to say, that if it wasn't for Voice of the Martyrs in the last 3.5 years during COVID, their movement of 1.5 million people would have disappeared. He said it to me 4 times. I said, no, you can't say that. He said, but I'm telling you it's the truth. I said, no, you can't say that. Surely it can't just be up to us. So for you guys that support and that pray for the work we do, thank you. Because there's a testimony of how important that prayer and that support is for us and for people in China. That's one country of 32 or 33 that we currently work in from Australia. But here's the alarm from China. When I shared with my colleague about what's happening in Australia, in parting after those 18 hours of spending together, he says, you know what, Tony? We will pray for you guys. Because you need it more than we do. What an indictment. What is he seeing that we don't see? Where's the danger that he sees that we are omitting in our lives? Because all of the secularism that's creeping into every part of our lives today, it's going to destroy us eventually. And, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat anything with you here today. And if you don't invite me back, that's okay. But I'm going to say what I'm going to say. We need to stop sugarcoating things. We need to see it for what it is. It's either godly or it's ungodly. There's no middle road here. We don't compromise with these things. I've seen it firsthand. And I'm here to share that experience with you today. There's no middle of the road. There's no, she'll be all right, mate. That sadly, that doesn't cut it. Richard Wurmbrand says, who the founder of our ministry, are you a disciple or a customer of Jesus Christ? We're either one or the other. A disciple or a follower learns all he can learn about his master's trade and applies the learning. A customer wants as much as he can get for as little he has to pay. We say, Lord, bless me, but we're never a blessing. Sharing the gospel doesn't need talent or a degree, but it needs obedience. In my experience, there's no better privilege than to be used by God in being in His will for your life. And if this is new to you, then I suggest you ask God for an opportunity to share the good news with someone. Or even pray for someone and let Him do the rest. We don't always have to be front and center in all of these things. We just need to be obedient at the end of the day. And I want to share my first experience. You know, I was a young Christian, and I was so eager and willing and so on. And when the pastor said, you guys have got to be willing. You've got to be willing to help and be available. And I put my hand out. I said, yeah, I'll be available. And I went home. A few hours later, I got a call. He said, hey, you put your hand up in church to be available. Can you go and pray for someone at church, please? At the hospital, please. This person just had a heart attack at Liverpool Hospital. Can you please go pray for them? I was petrified, man. I thought, how can I do this? How can you ask me to do this? What can I possibly say that's going to help this person out? Really? Anyway, I went. And I stood outside that hospital ward and I prayed and I said, no, Lord, I don't know how to do this. You're going to have to help me here, please, really. You have to come through for me here because I'm going to look a fool here if I go in here and I just fumble. So I went in there and I prayed. And I prayed a simple prayer, whatever the Holy Spirit put on my heart. And 3 weeks later, the gentleman I prayed for came out of hospital. And even today, he said it was because of that prayer I prayed that he's still around. Now, I know I had nothing to do with it, but I was glad to be a vessel that God could use in that circumstance and in that situation to be a blessing to him and his family. It's almost embarrassing the riches that I see in persecuted believers' lives when you meet them. They're never unhappy. They're never sad because their joy and their presence are so rooted in God's will and in God's ways. One almost wants to feel envious of them because you so want that because you see how God's using them and the victory that's in their lives over all of this worldly, things that are worldly. So it's a blessing and a privilege to be doing what we do at VOM. And I say again, if you don't know anything about us, please go and speak to Eshwan at the back there. We have a resource table. Please take all the resources that are there. Don't leave anything. If you've read it, bless somebody with it. Bless somebody with it. The harvest that is facing us requires us to be prayers, sharers of the word, willing helpers, and many other things the body of Christ requires. Are we those people? Are we willing and are we available? Let's take an example from persecuted believers. And let's not feel sorry for them. Let's envy them for their willingness, their obedience, and their courage under fire to do whatever God needs them to do. That's the important takeaway from today, I believe. And I challenge you to step up in whatever area God has called you to and be all you can be in Christ. Like I said in China, my friend shared with me that many in that country realized that communism could do nothing for them as the government abandoned them. Many people were fearful and vulnerable. And many of us here in Australia share the same fear of the unknown. But let's look at the victory that I shared with you about the Chinese, what's happening in Egypt, and places like that. God's on the move. It's whether you're in it or you're not. That's really where it's at. Are you on the bus or are you off the bus? I choose to be on the bus. What makes persecuted believers different from us? We think we're superior because we don't get persecuted. I think we had a major disadvantage, if you ask me. Major disadvantage. Because if we were persecuted, firstly, we'd be thinking about what's absolutely important in my life today. What matters to me today? If I'm not here tomorrow, what's important? And we'll soon realize that all of the things we surround ourselves with have got no value. Their willingness to hear the word and act on it is commendable. Many of us hear, but do not listen, nor do we act. Let us pray. Lord, I trust that everyone who has heard me here today is stirred and challenged to act on their faith. I pray that the harvest is adequately met by willing and available believers. We pray also for Australia to experience the revival we also need. Stir our hearts, Lord, so we embrace the Great Commission. And Father, we thank you for every single persecuted believer who's willing to give up their life for you, Lord. Let them be our example and no one else, Lord. And Father, as you lead us through unknown times, Lord, and fairly challenging times we face in this world today, give us the reminder that it's only through you and with you that we receive our salvation, and nothing and no one else. We give you thanks and we give you praise, and I thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity to share just a little bit of your word and what you're doing globally with these folk today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.